Still in Jude. Let's see if I can stay on track instead of going off of 15 tangents.
I'm not betting for you.
What?
I'm not betting for you. But I'm not betting again, you.
Jude, chapter, well, we're still, there's only one chapter. Start in verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. To earnestly contend for the faith is what zeal really means. Zeal is a place where there's singularity in your life. And the singularity is this mystery of God. There's nothing else.
Yeah, when Jesus told Peter to feed my sheep, I think that's exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah. Let's go to Philippians 1 about this contending for the faith. Let's start at verse 17. No, the right, 16. The one preached Christ of contention and not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Remember, this is Paul. He's in Rome in jail. He wrote most of his books while he was in jail. It wasn't really a jail because he was living with what do you call it? It was the government place where Caesar lived, or Caesar was, and there was like apartments around the bottom of it for their...
Like house arrest?
Huh?
House arrest of sorts?
Yeah, it was. He had quite a bit of freedom. And so, about all he did was write. And remember that when he wrote most of the letters from Rome, he was under this house arrest. He had been found guilty by the tribunal, no, by another order, but he was scheduled to go before the tribunal to decide the faith, or the fate of him. And so 2 Timothy was just about to go before the tribunal, and he had heard and knew pretty well that Caesar was going to demand his death. And so that's why 2 Timothy is like this, it's like a huge letter from the standpoint of what he was trying to say to us, because it was the last thing he wrote before he died. Anyway, where did I just start?
Can you start in...
you started in 16.
Yeah. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. And there were a bunch of people that were different sects of Christianity that had departed from the faith, and they were trying to get rid of Paul. So there was... Remember, Alexander was one of the closest Christians that testified against him at the tribunal. And so it was, anyway, this is what he knew that was going to happen. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. These are incredible words.
Yeah.
But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of joy, for the furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, remember, always conversation should be translated. It was conversation meant manner of life in the time of King James, but now conversation, it's not what he says, it's his manner of life. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given my Bible is all ripped up. And the be, what does that say? What is the be? In verse 20, the last sentence of verse 28, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you
of salvation.
Okay, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake or his purpose, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Now, it's hard for us to think about this, but this has never changed. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, this isn't talking about suffering from pain. It's suffering from being hated in this world. Now everybody, Christianity is just another thing. I read again Polycarp's There was an eyewitness to Polycarp's, and Polycarp was a second century saint, one of the leaders of the church. And there was an eyewitness that was at the arena where he was what they did to him was beyond belief, but it started out with the lions, but the lions didn't come near him. So then they did some other stuff to cause blood to flow so the lions would come, and they still didn't come. And so then they finally died by fire, but there was a, and this may be just a guy's dream, but they saw him in the fire with his hands raised praising God while the fire was burning him. We think we've got tribulation
if we stub our toe.
Yeah.
How could they love you?
But this, anyway, let's go back to Jude. It's about earnestly contending for the faith, is what we were talking about. And part of that is suffering. That you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord, of our God, into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a whole thing about Jude, and we talked about it briefly. From the tone of the letter, you could tell that he wanted to write a positive letter to the believers. But he ended up and it's evident, he was prompted by the Holy Spirit to read this, or to write this letter, which it's something that should be required reading daily for all of the modern Christians, because it would wipe out the heresies. But the idea of his only life was contending for the faith. That's it. There was nothing else. There was no... I mean, when you read it, when you read Paul's writings, it's total. What? There's something outside?
No, I'm just rocking and rolling.
All right.
I was thinking about the contending for the faith.
Huh?
I was thinking about what you said about contending for the faith.
And what is it? How do you contend for the faith? With the faith? We've talked about it, but there's no one in your life that shouldn't know what you believe. Otherwise, you end up, you have to ask yourself, are you ashamed of your faith? Is it that not important to your loved ones, to your family, to your co-workers? Anyway. We talked about this idea of mercy and grace. And mercy precedes grace. However, grace must happen before there can be mercy. Why? Because guilt must be done away with. That's what grace is. But sin, trespass, must be done away with before there's mercy. So it's done away with by grace.
So there's
guilt has to be done away with before before mercy can be assuaged, because of this, because of our sin. But if we are blind to our sin, then it's just, this is just another discussion. I've talked often about the midnight hour is the time in which your faith, whether or not your faith is real or not, is, that's when, you know, the sexual fantasies and all the other crap that goes on, or the planning your life. But that's all just garbage from God's standpoint. Anyway, back to we're into it now.
No, just comment about that. It's, you call it garbage, and on the one hand, that's true, but it's that garbage that is testing whether you, what your response is to that garbage. Is there faith? And you...
No, that's repentance. It has to be repentance before there's anything.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
What else is your response?
Well,
I'm going to do better.
This is why, again, I've tried to emphasize in the Seder groups. I'm going to take a side trip. Go to James. Start in chapter 5, start in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. that the Lord is very pitiful, of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing a psalm, sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call on the elders, or the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. And then this next one is the reason we read all that. Confess your faults, or yours, not, it's just confess faults one to another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about that is that this was part of the early church. Each time they met as a minion, then there was a time in which there was a time of confession at every meeting, because we all leave the faith. But if we keep it silent, then pretty soon, you know, as I've talked often about how as a sheep lost, he's lost one blade of grass at a time. And that's what happens. We slowly leave this mystery of Christ, and everything in your life is trying to cause you to lose that mystery of Christ in you. It's trying to resurrect the evil one. And so this is why we confess faults one to another. But you can't do that if you don't have an opportunity for confession. It should be a time for every single meeting. of the minion. Anyway, everybody understand that? There's nothing. Everybody has something to confess if you are honest with yourself. What? You're musing.
Thinking of my sin.
Which one?
Going down the list. It's interesting to me when you realize the real state of flesh, because we mask it the best we can and try and pretend we're good people and all that, but when your mask is taken away during preaching or teaching or moments of silence, whatever, and you see what you are as opposed to spirit, that's a great moment. That's real. That's true. And if you don't see it at some point, then you walk in deception and happily go your way. But to have it revealed to you, and it has to be by God's Spirit, that that's what it is, then you're subject to truth. And that's great.
One of the things, if you can remember, when we did this on an almost daily basis, the things that were the most hurtful to confess, they were the darkness of darkness, cause somebody else to have light.
Yeah.
So it's not about, it's about this coming together in one. So there is one body, one mind, one gospel. Instead of a gospel, because you think about something, it's not the gospel. The gospel is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. But the gospel, I was about to go off on another.
You're getting cranked there.
Huh?
You're about to get cranked up.
Back to Jude. Does anybody else have any response to this?
Just to put what I said in a sentence, it's like my sin is greater than his sacrifice. That's what you're saying when you withhold, keep your sin.
Well, also, it's just natural to withhold. That's what the mind does.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's always got a face that's not real.
It's protected.
Mm-hmm. And so to confess is terrible. Confess faults one to another. Faults are the whole range of things. You might be healed. And you're healed because you have mercy and grace. Mercy, grace, and peace. I don't know if you remember, we used to go through all the introductions of each of the Gospels about how often what the establishment before the message. And left to ourselves, we'll just sit and wander around in our own little gardens.
Yeah, our own little garbage too.
Well, think they're gardens.
Yeah.
And it's just self. It's just more self being resurrected. Peace is the fruit of all this, but peace, as you remember, is the word Irene.
Are you back to Jude?
Yeah.
Peace is Irene.
Hmm? The word peace is the word Irene. It's my favorite, my mother's sister that I was, I think I told you once, but when I was a little kid, my mother told me she was going to beauty school. And I said, she didn't need to go to beauty school. She's already beautiful. She might go. She was going to learn how to.
Yeah.
But, and I just adored her. I never had any sexual thoughts about her, but that wouldn't surprise me if I did.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of peace, true peace can't happen where there's guilt. And guilt sneaks up on you because guilt comes from the accuser. Who is the accuser of the brethren? You, your mind.
Look around.
But it accuses, your mind accuses you more than it does anything else. You only accuse others because you've got, you know, the own crap is already going on inside you, and so you got to share it. So you got to judge somebody else. So all of this produces no peace. And pretty soon it's like the floodwaters of Houston, the dam breaks, and you either run away and leave or you start seeking forgiveness and confessions, confessing faults one to another. I mean, it's almost, I hate to say this to me, but it's almost like this church in the block is dying. From what I see, maybe I don't see right. That's probable, but where's the zeal? It's just, peace means that you've been joined together. The fundamental meaning of peace is that you're gone, because if your mind cannot be at peace. Is that, do you understand that?
Say that sentence again.
Your mind cannot be at peace, but your mind is constantly trying to resurrect itself from the dead. That's its job, so that you will be fully tested without spot or wrinkle. But your mind, that's why the idea of the stopping of the using of your mind has to come to fruition. Because, you know, you may love your mind, but I promise you, it accuses you more than anyone else, even the ones that don't say anything. Does that communicate to anybody?
Yeah. Can you explain, you often talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. What does the power of the Holy Spirit do in a fully in an individual?
Reveals Christ. The Holy Spirit, remember, here's what the Holy Spirit's job is. Go to John 16. It gives a great specificity. I can't believe I turned right to it almost. No, right to it.
Ah!
John 16. Well, I'm going to start at verse 1. These things have I spoken. He just went through all of the being hated by the world. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time, or the church. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God holy service. That's what the word service means in the temple. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, or Paraclete, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will do three things. He will reprove the world, or convict the world, of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Now, all of the sin in the world comes from believing not on him. Believing doesn't say, well, I know he exists. It's believing that he is your only life. You're gone. He lives. And that conviction of the Holy Spirit will continue in your life if you're open until your death is complete. You will convict the world of sin because they believe not of me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. And of sin, because the prince of this world has been judged.
Judgment.
Huh?
Of judgment. You said of sin.
Oh, judgment, yeah. But that's, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. That's what he does. So, and he's convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, if you hear. But he's not interested. He's not going to mess with you as long as you want. If you want to be in the world, he's going to wait until you no longer get sustenance or satisfaction from the world. He's not going to come and force you into anything. But slowly but surely, the gospel will be preached to the poor, to you, to me. But it's not until we, the full gospel. I see all these churches that have the full gospel, the name of comes, the full gospel of Christ in their church. Well, the full gospel of Christ is your death. No, and you're not resurrected. Christ is resurrected. And so the only way that this his conviction works in you is when you feel convicted that you repent.
Yeah.
If this is just another philosophy you're studying, that's fine. I do care because I love you, but there's no other preachment except the cross. The cross preaches your death. You died with him. If one died for all are dead. He was the last Adam. If he was the last Adam, who are you? He was the last member of the human race. Do you believe that? You realize what that means?
Yeah, that's good.
Hmm?
That's good. That's okay.
But that means is that everything of your mind isn't from you. Your mind is the instead of Christ. That's why the number 666 is on your forehead and on your right hand, because you're never at peace. And you can go acting like you're at peace. But the midnight hour will convince you that you're not at peace, not in peace. You must die and be buried. Same message, always. Take it, big guy.